Good morning, happy Tuesday. Welcome everybody to today's March 4th Capital Investment Committee meeting, and we do have a quorum. Members, we have a very, very busy day ahead of us. We have 17 bills scheduled. Every bill will be on an informational basis only, with maximum 5-minute time limit per presentation. As I stated, no action. We'll just be laying these bills over. So please make your presentation concise. And if the project can be phased, please let that know up front so that prevents member questions. And first up, we are, we have to do approval of the minutes from February 27th. Would Representative Zhang like to approve the minutes from February 27th?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Zhang has moved the minutes from February 27th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Minutes approved from February 27th. Thank you, Representative Zhang. All right. First up, we are going to hear Representative Perryman. Please make your way. If you have any testifiers, please make your way to the stand. And please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Representative Bernie Perryman, District 14A. And today I have two testifiers to speak to a capital investment in the St. Joseph, Minnesota area. And I'm going to let them tell you their testimony for the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Franzen and committee members. I am David Murphy. I am the City Administrator for the City of St. Joseph, Minnesota, and would like to thank you for hearing this bill and giving us the opportunity to testify before you today. Last year, Speaker DeMuth presented this committee to this committee for the same project, and I would like to thank Representative Perryman, who also represents the City of St. Joseph, for authoring the bill this year. This project is part of St. Joseph's long-term capital investment plan. The investment in sewer main expansion aids the city with economic development and expansion of commercial, industrial, and residential corridor. The city's current industrial park expansion is almost full, and we are receiving requests for additional industrial and commercial lots, however, cannot meet the demand for that. This project will open up 2,100 acres for new economic development, including the industrial, commercial, and also desperately needed residential lots. Bonding for this project helps us while restraining property tax increases, as 30% of the parcels in St. Joseph are tax exempt. They are either educational or ecclesiastical. Chair Franzen and Lead Lee, you know better than anyone that these projects only go up in costs, as shown in the handout that was provided. Last year, this bonding request was at $5.7 million and has now gone up to $6.2 million. It is estimated that costs could go up another 10% over the next year. The city is prepared to match the bonding amount. Our finance director and our bond council have determined the financing solutions needed to meet our matching obligation for this project. So I would like to express our sincere thanks to all of you for the opportunity to speak to you today, and a special thank you to Representative Perryman for authoring this request. We do have Randy Sabart here, the St. Joseph City Engineer, who is available to provide any technical details and answer any questions regarding the sewer line itself that you may have. Thank you.
I would add to the question that was initially asked.
Please state your name for the record.
Your name.
Randy Sabar, City Engineer for St. Joseph. I'd add that the earlier question, could this project be phased? Yes, there would be a potential to phase the project from an initial preliminary design, final design, right-of-way acquisition perspective, and then separate that from the actual construction activity. There's less of an opportunity to phase the actual construction since we're trying to get a trunk sewer to a particular portion of property, and so we can't build half a pipe to that distance, if you would. So it is possible to phase from a design and construction perspective.
Okay, great. Members, do we have any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your presentation. Thanks for coming in front of the Capital Investment Committee and making your way down to the Capitol.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have Representative Nash. Representative Nash is going to be presenting on House File 928, Laketown Township. Please make your way to the testifier stand, state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Lead Lee. I have House File 928 with me, and there is a DE amendment, Madam Chair.
We don't need to worry about the DE amendment.
Okay. Well, if you have the DE, you would see that we're spending less money to phase the project, and this will be for phase one. With me, I have Pete Paris from Laketown Township, and he will explain the need. There also is in the packet a handout regarding this, and I believe this is the second or third time we presented this over the years.
Please state your name for the record.
Mm-hmm. Hello, my name is Pete Paris. I'm the chair of Laketown Township Board of Supervisors. I'd like to thank the chair and the representatives for allowing me to testify here today. In 1973, the township entered into an orderly annexation agreement with the cities of Chaska, Victoria, and Waconia. In the early 1980s, the houses around the lakes in Laketown Township had septic systems that were negatively affecting lakes and streams. Because the annexation was expected in about 20 years, the interim solution was put into place. The solution was a community 201 wastewater system that had a life expectancy of about 20 years, which is about the time of the expected annexation. These systems should have been sunsetted in the early 2000s. We are 20 plus years past their life expectancy. In addition, the materials that were used in the 80s are far below the code that exists today. Many of these systems run between the houses and the lake shore. A portion of one runs across the bottom of a lake. There are currently 209 or 35% of the township households on our 201 system. The other 65% have their own private septic systems. The 4-inch pipe.
Oh, is this one yours?
No. The 4-inch pipe.
Okay, is this correct?
Can I hold that, Jim? Thank you. The 4-inch white piece of pipe was originally installed in the 1980s. The 8-inch green piece of pipe is what code currently mandates. You can see the difference. The small one is Schedule 30, and the large one is Schedule 43, so quite a bit thicker. And the bigger you go, the thicker it gets even. The map in your packet is Laketown Township. The 201 systems are highlighted. You can see the three lakes that are adjacent to these systems. Bolton Mink, our engineering firm, estimated the cost of the project at $25.4 million. However, we have broken this project into two phases. Phase one are the area circled in black marker on the map. Phase two will be scheduled later. On my handout, you will see the breakdown of the funding. Please note the residents on the system are bearing about $30,000 to $35,000 per household, depending on the area. If the residents paid 100% of the cost, their assessment would be about $139,000 per household. Without funding from the state, we cannot move forward. This is why we are asking for this funding. Thank you for your time and consideration. Are there any other, are there any questions?
Members, do we have any questions? Lead Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Nash, for bringing this forward. So you mentioned a DE. We don't have it for reference. Can you tell us what is the new number for that?
6.4. Madam Chair? And Lead Lee, yes, it was the initial ask in the underlying bills for $13 million. The DE would have reduced it to $6.4 million. Not sure why it didn't make it in the packet. It was submitted on time on last Friday, but it would reduce it and enable a phasing of the project.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Any further questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Representative Berg presenting with Burnsville Water Treatment Plant. Please make your way to the testifying table, and you may state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kayla Berg, I represent 55B, which is the heart of Burnsville. Madam Chair, thank you for hearing our bill today. We're here to ask for your help on our water infrastructure needs. I know some of you on the committee have come out to the Burnsville Water Plant and seen the conditions there and know that we are indeed in desperate need of help. So the city of Burnsville is requesting $8.55 million to treat surface water and provide clean water, replace water lines and electrical components. We need to remove contaminants like radium from the water in Burnsville, and we are seeking the state's help. Madam Chair, I have with me the mayor of the city of Burnsville, Elizabeth Kautz, who would like to testify. In addition, I have Greg Lindberg, our city manager, and our fire chief, B.J. Jungman, who works on our legislative issues, if there are any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Berg. Ms. Kautz?
Kautz.
Kautz, thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before.
Would you mind just stating your name for the record first? Thank you.
I beg your pardon. I should know this. Elizabeth Couts, Mayor of the City of Burnsville, thank you so much for having us. 100 Civic Center Parkway in Burnsville, Minnesota, 55337. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the House Capital Investment Committee for hearing this very important bill for us. We are here to ask for your help in our water infrastructure needs, not only for the city of Burnsville, but for the city of Savage as well. The Burnsville Water Treatment Plant is a unique facility that combines both surface water from our local quarry and groundwater from the Prairie du Chien, Jordan, Mount Simon, and Jordan aquifers. During the winter, two-thirds of the water supply is derived from the surface water treatment plant, and with one-third from our groundwater. The ratio reverses in the summer months to meet the increased demands, relying more heavily on groundwater wells. The City of Burnsville is requesting $8.55 million to provide surface water technologies to process and produce clean, odorless water while reducing our environmental footprint, protecting natural resources, and reducing consumption. We will also provide for ion exchange and membrane filtration to remove radiation and other contaminants from the water supply. We need to replace water lines to reduce leaks and handle pressures. And finally, we need to replace the electrical infrastructure that is part of this project. The City of Burnsville is willing to meet your local match requirements, and we respectfully ask for your help on behalf of the residents and businesses of Burnsville and the City of Savage. Madam Chair, thank you so much, and we have our City Manager and Chief Jungman here with us for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Couts. Members, Representative Breyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you said, Representative Berg, we have been out there and seen the plant and seen the need. As a fellow representative of Burnsville, I can vouch for the importance to the community. And you may have mentioned this, but is there any phasing that's possible for this? Or, yeah, thank you.
Madam Chair. And Representative Ryer, yes, we can phase the project.
Great, thank you. Members, do we have any other questions? Okay, great. Thank you for presenting in front of the Capital Investment Committee. Thank you, Representative Berg, and I hope you two have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Next up, Representative Myers, please make your way with your testifiers to the stand. State your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. Representative Myers, you have two bills up, Mound and Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Lead Lee. I'm going to be consistent here today with the clean water bills that we're hearing, so thank you for doing that. House File 406 is about safe, clean drinking water for the people in Mound. This is something that I saw every single day when I was out this summer talking to constituents. Bottled water in their garage, Culligan. Who I have here with me today is Mayor Holt and the City Administrator for testimony.
Thanks, guys. My name is Jason Holt, the Mayor of Mound. Chair Franson and Lee Lee and members of the Capital Investment Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I would also like to extend my sincere gratitude to Representative Myers for drafting this critical piece of legislation we are discussing today. We are here in front of you once again to make the case for more state funding to address the elevated levels of manganese in our water supply. Manganese has been classified by the Public Facilities Authority as an emerging contaminant, and without proper treatment, it presents significant health risk if consumed in excess, particularly for infants and vulnerable populations. Mound does not currently have a water treatment plant, and it did not plan to construct one until late in 2020, when the Minnesota Department of Health began applying the EPA's health-based guidelines to manganese and required cities to meet maximum drinking levels. after Mound received notice from the state that its drinking water exceeded these new standards, the city immediately issued a health advisory notice to its residents and water customers, which is still in effect today. Mound has been identified within the Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund intended use plan with a ranking of 188 and a score of 15. Based on these factors, Mound is now in the fundable range for an emerging contaminant grant through the PFA. We are grateful for the appropriation granted to Mound by the Minnesota legislature in 2023, which has been instrumental in getting this project and our phase one out of two off the ground. However, according to our current engineer's estimation, we are still faced with about a $30 million price tag for the rest of the construction of the water treatment facility. Mound is a diverse community, both economically and demographically, with 25% of our housing stock comprising of rental properties and a median household income below Hennepin County's median household income. We must carefully consider the financial burden placed on our residents. For a city with less than 10,000 residents, Mound is currently bonded at $34 million in debt, and which $10 million is for water infrastructure. Our debt per capita is 61.5% higher than the average Class 4 city and 95.3% higher than the average city in Hennepin County. Mound also has another $26 million in infrastructure-related capital improvement projects that will require additional debt issuance through 2033. The average utility bill for medium users in Mound is only exceeded by two cities when compared to our neighbors in western Hennepin County. This, combined with our current debt situation, is the driving force behind our capital requests to Minnesota legislature, along with requests to the federal government on behalf of our ongoing pursuit of grant funding. The cost of upgrading our water treatment facilities to effectively remove manganese is significant. While we are doing everything in our means to address this issue, additional support from the state is essential to ensuring that we can complete this project efficiently and equitably without disproportionately impacting our residents. On behalf of the residents of Mound, I respectfully ask for your support in securing the funding necessary to safeguard our water supply and protect the health and well-being of the residents of Mound. Clean drinking water is not just a fundamental necessity, it's also a right that every Minnesotan deserves. Thank you for your time and welcome any questions you might have.
Great, thank you. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair, and this is for Representative Myers. So last term we toured some of your projects, including Excelsior. I know this Mound is close to Excelsior, but could you give us an update as to that project, the Mound project, or excuse me, Excelsior project?
We're going to stick to the topic.
Okay.
Thank you,
Chair.
Lead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so maybe to the city minister, you mentioned being the fundable range for the emerging contaminant grants. And so if you were able to get that, would that be in addition to the $30 million, or can you say, you know, what is the amount that you're expecting to get if we were to fund that program?
So that would take it off the top.
Through the chair.
Oh, sorry, Chair.
Mayor Holt. Mr. Dow, or you're the mayor?
Yeah.
Mr. Fisher?
Sorry, Chair. It would take off, from what I'm understanding, maybe like $3 million is what we're looking at this year. So we'd still need another $27 million.
So, Mr. Holt, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, sorry, we're reading the wrong bill there. Does that help, Wheatley? Okay. Any other member questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time down here.
Thank you.
Representative Myers, you have your next bill up.
Yes, members, House File 408, again, is a clean water bill. This is for the city of Minnetrista. Who I have with me today is Councilmember Refkin and the city administrator. You know, I think we heard about this project on the tour last year. Again, this is a smaller community that has really big infrastructure needs, so I will let council member testify to this.
Hi.
Hello there, and welcome to the committee, Ms. Refkin.
Hi.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
I am Kathleen Refkin. I am the council member for Minnetrista. Thank you, Chair Franson, Vice Chair Fogelman, and Lead Lee for having the City of Minnetrista here today. Thank you to Representative Myers for bringing forward our bill. We appreciate all of you taking the time to hear our bonding request. The primary reason we are requesting bonding money is to ensure Minnetrista is able to pragmatically manage the cost of living for our residents. This bond money will support the construction of entry-level homes, townhomes, and apartments. This is a need for our city, which will allow the city to keep affordable housing. Minnetrista only has 2,200 connections on our city water system. This means when you look at Minnetrista's demographics in its entirety, the residents on the lake with multi-million dollar homes are not on the city water system. These homes are on private wells and thus do not contribute to the water fund. Therefore, it is the newer areas of town, such as the apartments, entry-level homes, single-family homes, and townhomes, who are bearing the fiscal burden of our water infrastructure needs. Without any bonding funds, the cost of the required water treatment plant to support the residents will increase each home's direct cost by $1,200 a year, in addition to any water usage. This means every entry-level home, apartment, single-family home, etc., will have a bill of $1,200 a year for 20 years without pouring a single glass of water. Minnetrista draws water from the same aquifer as the city of Mound, and we need this plant to treat the manganese and iron in the system. As you are aware, manganese is a public health concern, which can lead to neurological and developmental issues, especially in infants and young children. Minnetrista is more than a shovel-ready site. We are currently drilling our two new wells for this plant and plan to break ground on the plant later this year. The site is ready to go, having already been cleared, and we are currently finalizing design plans. So this is not a phased project. We expect the plant to be completed in 2027, and this plant will sustain our community's water needs until 2050. Minnetrista has already contributed $17 million to our current water system since 2017, and we have never received any bonding money ever for any project we've done. Again, thank you for your time, Chair Franson, Vice Chair Fogelman, and Lee Lee. If you have any questions, myself or our city administrator are happy to answer them.
Is this project able to be phased at all?
We've currently completed phase one with the upsizing to connect the current system. We are currently in phase two doing the wells, so phase three would be the construction of the plant.
Correct. So I'm asking, do you need the entire $26,755,000 up front, or can that be phased in?
Chair Franzen.
And state your name for the record, please.
Jasper Krugel, City Administrator for Minnetrista. Yes, so the amount that we've requested is for the full amount of the project. We would be able to phase this in with a less amount. The city's prepared to proceed with the project. What we're trying to manage is the cost of living for our residents and the entry level home. So that's what the bonding bill would support.
Great, thank you, members. Lead Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in your handout, you mentioned that you will need $10 million every 10 years for continuing infrastructure needs. So is that expectation that you'll be coming to the state every 10 years for that $10 million, or is that just to let us know what is the need for your community going forward?
Mr. Krugel?
Yes, Chair Franzen, Lead Lee. That's essentially our maintenance that we expect to pay as a community for that. So that's not something that we would be coming to the Capital Investment Committee for in the future.
Great question. Members, do we have another question? Any other questions? No? Okay. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol and presenting in front of the Capital Investment Committee. Thank you, Representative Myers.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we're going to have.
Yes, my microphone is on. Please, thank you. Representative Olson, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. My name is Bjorn Olson. I'm the representative from District 22A. And the first bill we've got for you is the City of Blue Earth is looking at receiving some money for a water treatment facility for the and here's the real important part that I want you all to grasp is that the City of Blue Earth did a very, very wonderful job of phasing their rates in order to require to have their own money to fix it on their own at the time when it was first built. So when they first built it, they said in order to replace it in this many years, we need to charge this much money. And then the MPCA came in and said, you're out of compliance and you need to make a new one 10 years, 15 years before they had actually scheduled it. And so that's why the City of Blue Earth is coming to ask for funds. If you look at their one pager, they're actually asking for a little bit more than 35% of the total cost of this facility. Blue Earth is not trying to pull one over on the state of Minnesota. They're attempting to get this job done at an affordable rate. They have the funds to cover down on what they had prepared for, and the state of Minnesota is asking them to make a new one a little bit earlier than what they had previously planned, and that's why they're asking for $7.5 million. I have with me Mr. Tim Stoner, who is the director of Blue Earth Light and Water. He can provide more information.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Your bill, though, says $7 million, not $7.5.
That is what it says. Thank you, Chair Franson.
You're welcome. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Sure. My name is Tim Stoner. I'm the general manager of Blue Earth Light and Water. I'd like to thank Chair Franson and the House Investment Committee. We've been working through this project and planning since 2018 when we realized that the compliance issue was in place. Since then, we've started to raise rates to cover the remaining debt service. We now have a monthly charge of $135 between water and sewer per household. Our town is 3,100 folks. We have about 2,200 meters. The $135 does not account for not receiving the $7.5 million. If we have to rely on the money that we've been raising through rates, our monthly bill will go up to about $150 between water and sewer. We have spent the last 10 years rebuilding all water mains. We've spent our own money through rates. The request for the 7.5 would complete the RO plant as required by the MPCA. Once that's completed, our entire system will be completely remained. Our RO system will be good for another 25, 30 years. We were close. The compliance issue did cost us to act about 10 years to 15 years sooner than we would have retired our plant. We are scheduled for PFA funding in 2025. Like I said, though, the PFA funding will cause those rates to go up another $15.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Chair Friends, and appreciate it. And redoing my math, the $7 million that we're requesting is actually 35% of the project. So the City of Blue Earth is prepared to cover 65% of the total cost. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Members, Representative Frederick, do you have a question? No? Okay. No? All right. Thank you for presenting on House File 730. Next up, you have House File 731. Representative Olson. Please make your way to the testifying table, state your name for the record, and then you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bjorn Olson again for District 22A. Louisville is a very small community within my district, and their pipes and their infrastructure was placed in the city just after World War II. So for those of you who are poor with your numbers, that's about 80 years ago is when the city of Louisville actually had their pipes replaced. We're seeing some significant issues with water main breaking, and the cost is swamping the small city of Louisville. About 250 people live in Louisville. So to ask the small city to completely redo and replace their pipes on their own is something that's maybe a bridge too far in this issue. But we're here asking for absolutely anything that the city can receive from the state in order to get some to alleviate some of the costs on their infrastructure.
All right. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning. I'm Barb File. I'm the mayor of Louisville. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today regarding our bill, in which we are requesting up to $10 million in funding. The City of Louisville urgently requires new citywide sewer and water systems, as well as road construction, due to the age and deteriorating condition of our current infrastructure. We initially invested $2.8 million to design and construct a wastewater treatment plant. Unfortunately, the plant failed to operate correctly, and the construction company subsequently declared bankruptcy, leaving us without any reimbursement. We were compelled to finance a new design and hire another contractor at an additional cost of $3 million. Thankfully, the second treatment plant is functioning properly. This series of events has placed a significant financial burden on our small town, impacting both our current and future financial obligations. Our residents in the city now lack the funds and capacity to finance the necessary sewer, water, and roadway facilities. Our reserves are critically low due to the ongoing replacement of sewer line backups, which continue to fail due to the initial contractor's poor workmanship. Both our sanitary and water systems are over 60 years old, closer to 80 years old, and are in dire need of replacement. The city of Lewisville currently has one of the highest utility rates in Minnesota, with an average monthly bill of $120 for both sewer and water services. Without state assistance, we will need to increase this rate to an average of $190 a month per household. With your support, we would only need to raise it by $20. Additionally, our median household income is the lowest in the state at $47,750, and our residents already pay high property taxes with a city rate of 127%. We respectfully request your consideration of this bill, as our current financial situation prevents us from funding these critical projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is for either of you. So, as I recall, we toured this project last time, and I was, I'm trying to think of the appropriate word, shocked at the fact that this happened, and that you appeared not to do anything to pursue recovery. So, and it still boggles my mind that you wouldn't take advantage of every and all opportunities to recover the money, including maybe the contractor recovery fund or anything like that, or seeking litigation against them. I know you say they're bankrupt, but there's opportunities in bankruptcy to recover at least something. So the question is, have you done anything since we last talked to recover it?
Unfortunately, we have not done anything in the last year, no.
Madam Chair. Why is that? Why haven't you done anything to seek to recover? Maybe there isn't an opportunity, but
that's a good question. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize that is something we could do, and I can certainly look into it. I would love to look into that and get reimbursed for that, because it was a huge loss for our community.
Mayor, we need to go through the chair before you.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. I'm Danny Nadeau. I appreciate being here today. Do I move my bill?
You are the city of Dayton, right?
Yep.
Yep.
314. All right, I'll move 314. And thank you again. This project is for the city of Dayton, and for those of you that don't know, the city of Dayton is probably the fastest growing community in the state. It's definitely the fastest growing community in Hennepin County. Edge communities, like the ones in my district, we face unprecedented challenges today. Fiscal disparity contributions, housing density conflicts, we have land valuations, transitioning from rural to residential, and then balancing those infrastructure needs that we need in a growing community. So today we're going to be discussing two projects. The first one is House File 314, and it's the aquifer, and it's about water. The aquifer that supplies the city's water system has a very high iron concentration. While the high iron level is not a health concern, it is a problem to residents. And recently, the Minnesota Department of Health issued new health guidelines regarding manganese levels, and certain areas of Dayton have these elevated manganese levels that need to be addressed. So House 314 will begin to solve this problem with a wellhead treatment plant for two wells. It's going to be able to meet primary and secondary standards set by the Minnesota Department of Health with this project. It's going to stabilize manganese levels in the water that are five times higher than they're supposed to be. And with that, I would like to turn it over to my testifiers, starting with the mayor.
All right, Mayor Bowers. Oh, later, please.
Mayor Fisher.
Morning, Madam Chair Franson and members of House Capital Investment Committee. My name is Dennis Fisher. I am the mayor of Dayton. you do not know where Dayton's located, it's directly between Champlin, Rogers, just north of Maple Grove and the Northwest Metro. Dayton's at a critical turning point in its life cycle as a city as we turn from being a rural suburb to a developed suburb of the Twin Cities. City of Dayton has grown immensely over the past 5 years. We've doubled our population that was stable for 25 years. With this growth, we as a city began making plans for water infrastructure needs, which included water treatment, water towers, among other things. Dayton has three separate water systems, which is an additional challenge, one of which is supplied by Maple Grove Water. The other two systems are Dayton Water. One has treated water and one is untreated at this time. These systems happen to be miles apart and would be tens of millions of dollars to connect. In early 2020, we began planning to construct a water treatment system for both of those systems supplied by Dayton Water. The cost escalated at an alarming rate. The last cost we heard from some preliminary engineering figures was close to $35 million for the plant. We asked staff to look at another solution for the smaller system. City staff receives complaints from residents on a weekly, if not daily, basis from residents in the area related to the smell of the water and the color of the water at times. We also have a manganese problem in that area. We need to treat it at the source. Provide residents with clean, safe drinking water is a critical element of the city and one that myself and the council are looking to address as quickly as possible.
Yeah, Madam Chair and members of the House Investment Committee, my name is Zach Dowd. I'm City Administrator. I got a couple more comments for you. Yep, no, thank you so much. I want to provide a little more information that the council did direct us to move forward. We looked at getting a preliminary engineering figures related to a well treatment plant that began at $2.5 million back in 2020. In early 2023, we began engineering for that well treatment plant based on the needs to meet those secondary standards. And when we got the numbers back by the end of it in 2023, we're at $8.5 million for that same wellhead treatment plant. And that had to do to a number of factors related to the media that was needed. It also had to do with additional pumps needed for the limited water pressure and even more limited water storage, which you will hear at the next bill and the next bill that we have. And this is over 300% above the preliminary figures that we had started with, which slid the project out to a future year. We are now looking just to get the water system, the only water system left in Dayton, to be equitable with the other systems within the city. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Nadeau and testifiers. My question is, with the growth that you're seeing in your community, how long will this solution hold you for? Will you be needing to do other kinds of expansion in your water treatment program, or is this kind of a long-range solution as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll hand it over to Administrator Dowd.
Madam Chair Franson and Representative Ryer, the answer to your question is that no, this system would be able to be utilized long term. This area of Dayton is very secluded, and so it isn't planned on any growth in the near future. So this system will last for planning at least 20 years to 25 years at a minimum. So thank you very much.
Any member questions? Any further discussion?
Thank you, Chair. So, Representative Nadeau, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I thought I heard you say that Dayton is the fastest growing city or suburb or whatever in the state, and your testifier just indicated otherwise. Could you clarify the discrepancy?
Madam Chair, Representative Carroll, thank you. I will let the, I think it is one of the fastest growing communities in the state, but I'll let the administrator answer that in more detail.
Yeah, Madam Chair Franson and Representative Carroll. I want to preface what I just mentioned. There's a section of Dayton that has been historically there forever. It's called the Historic Village, and it is not planned to grow. The other parts of the community are expected to grow very quickly, but we have roughly 5,000 acres of basically farmland currently, and we are growing from the south to the north, from Maple Grove north, and the Historic Village happens to be on the furthest northeast west corner near Otsego. So that's why that area isn't intended to grow, but the rest of Dayton will grow significantly over the next number of years.
Thank you, Chair. That's very helpful. Appreciate the explanation.
Any further member questions?
One more. Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. And members, House File 315 is, and I'll let the Administrator Dowd talk about this a little bit more, but this is a water tower for the historic district that you were mentioning, Representative Carroll. It's a small little, it's the first part of the community in Dayton that developed years and years ago. It's up on the confluence of the Crow River and the Mississippi River. It's a very small area. It's very secluded from other areas. And this is a water tower request that will allow fire suppression activities to occur up there. There is a very minimal amount of water pressure up in that area, and with that, I will turn it over to the Administrator.
All right. Mr. Dowd, please state your name for the record again, since we're on a new bill.
Yes. My name is Zach Dowd, City Administrator. I'm going to hand it over to the Mayor. Thank you very much.
Mayor Fisher, please state your name for the record again.
My name is Dennis Fisher. I am the mayor of the city of Dayton. Previously mentioned, but worth noting again, the city of Dayton has grown immensely over the past 5 years, doubling our population. With this growth, we as a city began making plans that all the suburbs in the Twin Cities have, including water treatment, water towers. Dayton has three separate water systems, one of which is supplied by Milk Grove. The other two systems are supplied by Dayton Water. One has a water tower, one does not. These systems happen to be miles apart, would cost a lot of money to interconnect. So to address the growth we've seen, we initiated the construction of a new well in 2020, which was completed in 2021, to supply a redundant system for supplying water in the Dayton area known as the Historic Village. This is the first project to expand water capacity in this area of Dayton since 2000. Shortly after that, the city had planned on acquiring a parcel of land and constructing an underground storage facility with the help of a developer. However, this development never made it past the planning stages, and the land nor the underground storage was never constructed. Providing water is critical to residents, and not having the ability to receive water during power outage or during fire emergency, we aren't able to provide remotely adequate water supply to keep our residents and their property safe. As the mayor, I'm at the forefront of addressing these water issue concerns. The number of complaints I hear from residents in the area, we have addressed water supply concerns across the city, and this is our last area of the city that needs to be addressed. The number of the homes shouldn't matter. The location of the home shouldn't matter. The price of the home shouldn't matter when it comes to public safety. And this water tower will address all these needs for the oldest part of the old village. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mayor. All right. Member questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for presenting in front of the Capital Investment Committee today.
Thank you. Thank you, members.
All right, next up, Representative Sexton. Representative Sexton, and then up deck we will have Representative Hansen. Representative Sexton has two bills for the city of Waseca.
I do have two handouts as backup, and we can just double check. We've got audiovisual support.
House File 425 for you up first. You may state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Lead Lee. I'm Representative Tom Sexton. Joining me this morning is Mr. Carl Sonnenberg, City Manager for the City of Waseca. He has served City of Waseca for just short of 45 years at this point, so we appreciate all of his service as well as historic references. This morning we are looking at House File 425 first, our sanitary sewer improvements. We did bring it up. Thank you. Mr. Sonnenberg, we'll go over with slides a little bit more detail, but I just want to focus on the very important parts of this particular bill is the fact that we have a huge problem with inflow and infiltration to the point where during a heavy rainfall, or now I believe we're calling that the new normal rainfall, it overwhelms our sanitary sewer system and actually causes us to have to redirect sewage flow into our largest lake, Clear Lake, which is on the right side of the screen there. So we'll be letting Carl take over from here, and we'll be entertaining your questions as well after that.
My name is Carl Sonnenberg.
Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed. Please go through the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Carl Sonnenberg, City Manager, Utilities, Public Works Director for the City of Waseca. Thank you, Chair Franson, honorable members, for allowing us to testify. Appreciate the opportunity. We testified in 2023, and we fell short, and we're back to try again. I do have to acknowledge our federal partners, both of our senators and our representative have in fiscal year 2024 allotted the City of Waseca $2.1 million for I&I work, which the City of Waseca started in 1983. So we love phasing. And in 2.1 for I&I and also through CDS funding, we have received $750,000 for the tower project. In the last 10 years, the city has spent $5.5 million on water utility infrastructure, which is leading us to this ongoing request for a brand new tower. And getting back to the sanitary sewer request, our current bills on a monthly basis on sanitary sewer are 170% higher than the average of Owatonna, Faribault, and Mankato. We can't compete. So that's the large reason that we're here asking for funds. The MPCA negotiated a schedule of compliance with Waseca, and our completed five-year plan has reduced I&I. However, over 50% of our raw sewage releases to the storm sewer system occur near the Mayo System campus. The core sewers in Old Waseca drain to the hospital sewer shed, and we need to invest in this hospital sewer shed near the Mayo System campus. And at this time, I would stand for questions on the sanitary sewer request.
Thank you, Mr. Sonnenberg. Members, do we have any questions? Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for presenting. So for this bill and the next bill, you have language in there saying that there should not be a non-state match. And so is it the expectation that you want the state to fully fund both projects, or can the city help with some portion of the cost?
Mr. Sonnenberg.
Thank you, Chair Franson, Honorable Member Lee. The answer is that we currently have a CIP program that has both projects. We can afford approximately $250,000 a year in our current CIP funding, and so that's why I love phasing. So, yes.
All right. Representative Lee, do you have any further? Any other member comments? All right. Seeing none, thank you for presenting in front of the Capitol today on this bill. And then you are up again, so don't leave, with House File 426, Representative Sexton, and then I'll have you state your name for the record again for this new bill.
Good morning, Chair Franson, Lee. I am Representative Tom Sexton. Seated next to me is Mr. Carl Sonnenberg, our city manager. This bill is House File 426 for our water tower. We have an existing water tower that's causing high maintenance issues. It was built in 1954 and must be replaced. We're very concerned about ensuring the high quality of water continue to flow not only to all our residents and make sure that we have enough flow for fire pressure amongst our residents, but we have some unique residents within Waseca. It includes the Federal Correctional Institute, we call it the Women's Prison, as well as the University of Minnesota Southern Research Center, both of which are on the southwest side of the city. And the water tower will be located over on the west side of the city to make sure that not only new housing in the area, but also these facilities are seeing clean water, water pressure to support all of their activities. And to Mr. Sonnenberg.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Sonnenberg, please.
Sorry?
Please say your name for the record.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Carl Sonnenberg, City Manager, City of Waseca. Thank you, Chair Franson, honorable members, for the opportunity. We appreciate it so much. the water tower project. We are phasing that in. The total cost we're looking at $7.5 million over the course of time. In the 1990s, we replaced an 1894 tower, which the former mayor and I had the pleasure to climb and to see the rivets falling out. And so we've been very aggressive with our water system program for the last 35 years. And the tower that you see is the 1994 tower, which is on the north side of town, which we built to replace the 1894 tower. The 1954 tower, which is at City Hall, would be replaced with the tower that Representative Sexton has mentioned. And I would also like to point out that our water rates are on average 20 to 25% higher than our neighbors, Faribault, Owatonna, Mankato, and those are the areas that we need to compete with. I would like to stand for questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Sonnenberg. Representative Scrabo, who's been quiet all day.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Sexton and Manager Sonnenberg, the best way to you had said that your rates are high as your neighbors. Where are they in the state as far as state averages?
Mr. Sonnenberg.
Thank you, Chair Franson, Member Scrubba. I do not have a direct dollar amount for that question. We are in competition regionally. We're not in competition with the City of Virginia, for example. So it's the regional competition that we are here to address, sir.
Representative Scrabble.
The reason I ask the question is if everyone around there is $5 a household, and then you're like, you know, we're competitive. Everyone's $5 a household. And the rest of the state is charging $25 a household. That's the average I'm looking for. I mean, you know, I'm not looking for, are you in the ballpark? Have you raised your rates? Have you done that in the last 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, or is it an annual? That sort of stuff.
Okay.
So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scrabba. Mr. Sonnenberg.
Madam Chair, thank you, Representative Scrabba. I can get you the exact information that you're asking for. A little bit more perspective would say that our median income is about 75% of the state average. So there's not just the one data point, but there's a collective analysis that we do.
All right, we are running out of time, Representative Scarborough.
Yeah, yes, Madam Chair, thank you. Do you have a PFA rating? Do you have a number?
Mr.
Yes.
Sonnenberg.
Thank you.
It is on the water tower. It's number 315. And I have the number on the sanitary sewer project. I believe it's number 74. 78, sorry.
Thank you, Representative Scrabba. Any other further member discussion on House File 426? Seeing none, thank you for presenting in front of the Capitol today, the Capitol Investment Committee.
Thank you, Chair Franson.
And thank you for bringing the bagels as well, Representative Sexton, your first time presenting in front of the Capital Investment Committee, and you just made some brownie points with the committee, so thank you.
I would encourage if there's still left over to anybody who's in the audience, please partake so that we don't have to carry them back.
Good. Next up, if Representative Hansen can be patient, we'll have Representative Vang to present her bill for Brooklyn Park. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Vang, and I'm here to present House File 1017 on behalf of City of Brooklyn Park. The City of Brooklyn Park is embarking on a bold vision for our future based on aligning with Minnesota goals around bio and med tech innovation. We are requesting $4.5 million for a vital water main crossing that would drive investment throughout the Northwest Metro and in Minnesota. Brooklyn Park is the sixth largest city in Minnesota and the fourth largest in the Twin Cities. There's about 250 acres of the Biotech Innovation District at the intersection of Highway 610 and 169, which will be a catalyst for economic growth and will create accessible, high-paying jobs while addressing income disparities. We are investing in workforce development and aligning our efforts with key partners such as Medical Ally and Greater MSP. And the state investment is in the underlying infrastructure critical to the foundation of this work. I know this is also an informational hearing, so I do have a technical amendment which adds the administrative agency, the public works facility, to administer the bonds. And I have two testifiers here with me today, Mayor Hollis Winston and City Engineer Mark Culver.
All right, to the next testifier, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you. My name is, Mayor Hollis Winston, Chair Franzen. Thank you, Lead Lee. I'm taking notes on running a meeting from you, so I appreciate that. So just very quickly, our city is the sixth largest. We have a ton of diversity within that, and that is ethnic to economic, and so that often creates for, in our case, a very modest tax base. So if we look at our budget as a city and our public safety is not wasting dollars, right? But they are 55% to 60% of our budget. If we turn to LGA to try to offset that, we receive some of the lowest given our size within the state. And so we have said we're going to make a decision to grow our way out of that. And so as Representative Vang pointed out, we sit on the Medical Alley corridor. So there's a ton of medical device companies, research companies there. And so we're looking to grow our way out of that. And a big part of that is the biotech district, which we were able to get set up last year. We're looking to build on that piece. That'll bring roughly 10,000 jobs, probably about 3,000 units of housing, and we will be able to affect folks who have been in poverty for quite some time. We're looking to connect them to those opportunities. However, to do that, we need to, have that water main built, which will be 610 and 169. My understanding is that is a state responsibility. So for us to not disrupt traffic, that kind of pushes the price up. And so that's why we're requesting the $4.5 million so that we can build out that area, and then we get a return on investment that allows us to afford our city long term. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Winston.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. Just building on the
mayor's, your name for the record.
Thank you. Mark Culver, City Engineer, City of Brooklyn Park. Quickly building on the mayor's testimony, these three water mains that we need to install to serve this isolated portion of Brooklyn Park, which currently does not have any water infrastructure serving it, does have to cross underneath two major MnDOT facilities, which requires expensive and sizable steel casing, as well as upsized water mains, because we're not going to install several crossings. We're going to install as few as possible, which means we have to install larger crossings. So in order to serve the 400 acres on that side, we need to install these water mains at $4.5 million, and then additional costs for getting the water mains to that point and installing additional items related to those. So thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Culver. Members, do we have any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for presenting in front of the committee today, Representative Vang, and thank you, Mayor and Mr. Culver as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We are just cruising along, members. We're almost wrapping up here, so we have Representative Hansen up with three bills, so I encourage members to ask him many questions, because he likes that. A series of questions.
I don't know if I should say thank you, Madam Chair. I will try to be brief, as the others. Thank you for the opportunity for three bills. The first two bills relate to the City of Newport, so I have the Mayor of Newport, Lori Elliott, and City Manager Joe Hatch here to provide details. Similar to Representative Sexton, this is an inflow infiltration request. The unique situation with Newport is we are in the Met Council jurisdiction, so there are consequences for having inflow infiltration. We are also right next to the Mississippi River. So any backflow, any sewage that gets in there, gets into the river fairly quickly. We also have old pipes that are in bedrock, and so when that river floods, the water goes over the pipes right near the river. If you haven't been to Newport, I can give you a personal tour anytime. But it between Highway 61 splits the city in half. And there is an older community that's between 61 and the river. Older houses on the floodplain that have been there for a very long time. On the east side of 61, you have the bluffs that go up into Woodbury and Cottage Grove. And there has been some new development that's occurred there. But the city staff and mayor will describe kind of the challenges we have with the expenses. I would also note Newport is a town of about a little over 3,000 people, also carries an immense debt load, and the capacity for levies or assessments is somewhat limited. So with that, the mayor.
Thank you. So
state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
My name is Lori Elliott, and I'm the mayor of Newport. Thank you, Representative Hansen, Chair Franson, and members of the committee. I had the pleasure of speaking to some of you in October 2023 during your bonding tour. This is a follow-up to that request that was done at that time. So the inflow and infiltration of rainwater into our system is pretty significant. We had one 3.1-inch rainfall event that resulted in almost 3 million gallons of rain being treated as if it was sewage. The holes, the cracks, the misalignments of pipes due to aging and the movement of the bedrock has caused significant problems. And almost 3 million of gallons was processed over a 24-hour period. So due to the bluffs and the topography there, it was pretty significant. There's also concerns about household waste. When you do your laundry, take a shower, flush the toilet, all these cracks within their sewer pipes, all of that is flushing out into the ground, and the project area is 2 to 3 blocks from the Mississippi River, so it causes a number of environmental concerns. So these requests are for sewer, stormwater, and related infrastructure improvement, repairs, and replacement. So as Representative Hansen said, we're a little bigger than 3,000 now. We're at about 4,000 people with an average household income of only $62,000 a year. We can't accomplish this I&I work that the Met Council so badly wants us to do without state financial support. And Metro Waste refers to us as their worst offender. We've calculated the special assessment impact for our Project One priority, and it's almost $10,000 per property, which calculates with interest to about $100 per month added on to a mortgage or a rent payment. And when you only make $62,000 a year, this can be substantial. And remember, we have many who are under $62,000 in income. This will force some low-income homeowners out of their homes and renters to have to move. And we did an area study back in 2023, and one of the quotes that was written in was, "I moved here to Newport to restart my life after surviving significant hardship. Newport was the only place where I could raise my kids in a safe environment with affordable rent. Instead of a low-income city apartment, I got to rent a place with a yard and a garden. It's incredible. I never want to lose access to that privilege. I just fear being priced out of such an amazing place that I've worked so hard for. And I don't know too many people who think that a yard and a garden is a real privilege, but this person certainly really appreciates it for their family." So let's talk a little bit more about Newport. We've got the highest sewer rates of our neighbors. We have one of the highest sewer rates when compared with outstate cities, and we looked at 19 cities of varying populations. We came in fifth. We have the second highest tax capacity for municipalities in Washington County and the sixth highest municipal property taxes in Washington County. We simply can't raise taxes enough, raise our water rates enough to fund our way out of this problem. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Mayor, I have some concerns that you're coming to us for state funds, but yet businesses in your district are coming to me with concerns that you're trying to push them out. So can you share with me how your city is welcoming minority-owned businesses?
Well, I think we have a lot of female as well.
Mayor Elliott.
I'm sorry.
Thank you
for the reminder. We have women-owned businesses as well as minority-owned businesses, and I think what you're referring to has to do with a zoning issue, and businesses need to be operating in the zone for which they are assigned to. And so I believe that was the problem that arose there. Is that accurate?
Let's see here. We have Mr. Hatch.
Correct. Joe Hatch, City Administrator, City of Newport. Chair Franzen and Representative Ziong, the issue there was a business that did not have the proper permit. Unfortunately, it's not zoned correctly. I've met with the business owner. I'm working with the business owner in order to look at other options within the city that would fit into our zoning. So working very closely with them.
Thank you for that description. Representative Zhang, does that answer your question?
I just wanted to follow up comment saying that I have been trying to reach out to your offices to have this conversation. And so the response you're giving to me is totally different from what your business owners are sharing with me.
Okay, Representative
Zhang. So if you want to move forward with this funding request from us, I'd like to see some responses too. Thank you.
I don't know who he's reaching out to.
Mr. Hatch.
Chair Franzen. I've met with every business owner that reaches out to the city. There has not been anybody who has reached out to the city and not got a response. I take that extremely seriously.
Thank you. Members, we have testifiers here to testify for the bill at hand. If there are other circumstances you're concerned about, you can talk to them offline. Thank you. Representative Hansen, that concludes House File 652, unless there's further member questions. Seeing none, we will move on to House File 761.
We were testifying on both of those bills.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I still have to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And House File 761 is very similar. Everything that has just been said would apply to that. It is phasing, so we have, if you put the two projects together, you can see the entire amount.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Did you want any other further testimony on your bill?
I think before I hit my five-minute mark, thank you.
You want to state your name for the record?
I just,
thank you.
Yes, Mayor Lori Elliott, City of Newport. So Metro Waste really wants us to resolve this issue as their worst offender. We know we have a responsibility for infrastructure as well as protecting the environment. And we also know we need to be aware of the financial limitations of people who live in Newport. And for that reason, we really do need state assistance in order to accomplish this. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much, Mayor Elliott. Representative Breyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative and testifiers. Just a clarifying question. These two bills are both I&I bills. Can you give a rough sense of where they are? I know Newport a little bit, but not well enough to read the street outlines.
So I think, unfortunately, your map's printed
Elliott?
Out in black and white.
Mayor Elliott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unfortunately, your handout's printed out in black and white. So we are very happy to report we have completed the long block nearest to the Mississippi River in 2024. We are now moving towards Highway 61, and we are now about one-third of the way there for with this request. And we find every time we go down in video and take a look at what's going on, we find something that's even worse than what we found in the last go-round. So that's where we are. Does that help?
Representative Breyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I still don't understand why there are two separate requests, even looking at the map. Thank you.
Oh, yes. So Mayor Elliott.
Madam Chair, we have just tried to describe them as the north end and the south end. We're working from the north to the south. This has to do with the way the water is, stormwater flows into the city of Newport. So if you just look about halfway, that's kind of where we are. Yeah.
Okay. So. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, maybe if you know where Tanucci's is, so if you go south of Tanucci's and you look to your right and you will see that community there and going south on that side on the west side of 61.
Got it. All right. Did you want to add anything to that, Mr. Hatch? No? Okay. Any other further member questions?
All right, seeing none, thank you for presenting on House File 761. Next up, Representative Hansen, you have House File 1079 with the South St. Paul.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And while Mr. Garcia is coming forward, House File 1079 is drinking water infrastructure improvements. In an earlier committee, I had mentioned, you know, that the city had applied for fixing radium in a well, about $8 million. Because we did not have a bonding bill, we had to go forward. We've also had additional expenses of potential expenses of $6.6 million to address PFAS. So the bill in front of you today is a $3 million request for kind of connecting valves, items in that if we don't get the PFAS right away, if we still have to pay on the radium, we have tasks that we have to get done. So these are critical infrastructure to make. We are an old community, and I have with me City Manager Mr. Garcia.
All right there. I did not hear the name. Mr. what? Garcia? Okay, Mr. Garcia, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Madam Chair, thank you. Ryan Garcia, City Administrator, South St. Paul. Representative Hansen did a nice job of summarizing our request, and just to contextualize it a little bit, in 2023, well, previous to that, in 2019, the Minnesota Department of Health identified elevated levels of radium in our well number three, and gave us a directive that we needed to construct a water treatment plant at well number three. We, in 2023, we did have a request for capital investment for assistance with that that water treatment plant. Unfortunately, that was unsuccessful in 2023, but we did proceed with the drinking water revolving fund to finance that. The impacts of that on our community were significant. Our year-over-year utility bills on the median residential water bill increased 23% in that first year, and another 10% here in the second year. In round numbers, that's about $640 a year to the average residential home in South St. Paul. Bear in mind that we do have an older housing stock. 25% of our homes were constructed before 1939, and a full 80% of our homes were constructed prior to 1969. So an older housing stock, and that's where this bill really starts to resonate. The improvements we're seeking are for pressure control valves throughout the city in areas of fluctuating pressure where fire suppression reliability and really water pressure reliability for our customers is unpredictable and unreliable. These improvements would solve that problem. We did defer these actions. They were have been in our capital improvements plan since 2019. We deferred them to place a higher priority on that radium treatment plant. We do face, as Representative Hansen acknowledged, we do face the impacts of PFAS in our well number four. Just last April, we were notified with the EPA's limits having increased that we did have that well number four that increased. We are currently studying that impact. We do estimate a $6.5 to $7 million improvement for PFAS treatment at that well, which again will have that pretty proportional impact on our paying customers. So we're looking for some assistance with these deferred issues. They are a matter of public safety more than drinking water quality, but we are addressing those drinking water quality issues sort of through other mechanisms. Thank you for your time.
Thank you there, Mr. Garcia. Members, do we have any questions? Leadley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Garcia, just a quick clarifying question. So in the bill, you have a general fund. Is there a reason why it's a general fund request, or is that just more for drafting and could be general fund or GO bonds?
Mr. Garcia.
Madam Chair, Leadley, thank you. I don't know that there's a specific reason for that. I might lean on Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Lee. That's because we had the bill redrafted from last year. We were leaving no stone unturned. So we knew that this, you know, it was better to get the bill drafted and introduced and get it in front of you and hopefully get the source of funding we can.
That's one thing that's good about bonding. We can work on these, the language, as we proceed. Thank you, Lead Lee. Representative Hansen, did you have anything else to add?
I'd just say I'd appreciate any support you can give on this. This is, you know, these are old communities, speaking for all three, that are right along the river. Water impacts not just the residents, but the entire Mississippi River watershed. So
thank you. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Hansen? Representative Zhang, thank you for not disappointing me.
I just have a question. I'd like to follow up with Ryan Garcia after this, if you could hold off before you leave, about some other legislation matters. Thank you, Madam.
Okay, great. Chair. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Thank you, Mr. Garcia, for making your way down to the Capitol today.
Thank you.
Let's see. Next up, we have Representative Lawrence with House File 1056 for the City of St. Francis. Please make your way to the testifying table with your testifier. State your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Good morning, Chair Franson and committee members. Thank you for hearing our file this morning. I move House File 1056 before your committee today.
Thank you for your loud, boisterous voice, Representative Lawrence. You may continue. Mm-hmm. I thought I was sleeping, but I'm not now.
Well, we are towards the end of the meeting, so. Mm-hmm. May I proceed?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Thank you, Madam Chair. We're pleased to bring forward before you today House File 1056. This is a request from the City of St. Francis for water and sewer line improvements. City of St. Francis is an older community. It needs to replace its aging water infrastructure as well as expand infrastructure capacity. They've been made aware that there's going to be some improvements to Highway 47, which goes through the City of St. Francis by the state. And because of that, it is of urgency and necessity to replace these lines at this point in time. We don't want to get caught with having to re-tear up a brand new road to replace aging lines. And so they're here today. I have with me from the City of St. Francis, City Council Member Kevin Robinson, as well as City Administrator Kate Thunstrom. Thank you.
All right.
Thunstrom.
Please state your name for the record, and I hope your testimony is as energetic as Representative Lawrence's.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kevin Robinson. I'm a current City Council member of the City of St. Francis. We are a city of approximately 8,300 people just north of Anoka along the Rem River and the Highway 47 corridor. Our current trunk water and wastewater lines were constructed over 50 years ago, and our aging and undersized infrastructure is no longer adequate to serve the small growing community, which needs increased capacity in both length and size. Making this project more urgent, MnDOT will be conducting a reconstruction project for Highway 47 corridor, which goes through the center of our city, and which overlays also on top of our water and wastewater infrastructure. To prevent having to do it over twice, as it were, to prevent having to tear up the road twice, and we need to complete the freshwater and wastewater project before and or during the reconstruction of Highway 47, which is a project that is needed to address safety concerns as well, which we'll be taking care of shortly. Because of the road projects, it is needed urgently for the region. The timing of the water and wastewater project has become more urgent so that we can align the construction to prevent inefficiencies and added costs of tearing up the regional roadway multiple times, which is why we are seeking your assistance today. Thank you again for your time, and on behalf of the City of St. Francis, I'm happy to be here, and we're with Kate and I, we can answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Members, do we have any questions here? Okay, seeing none, thank you for, did you want to add something
Madam Chair?
There, Ms. Thunstrom?
Madam Chair, members, Kate Thunstrom, City Administrator. St. Francis is a standalone water and sewer facility with a smaller size, so it is important for us to keep this both as a timely project with the highway because of that efficiency, along with the costs that would be a burden if we try to do this outside of the project. With that, we are doing this in phases. The city is prepared to meet our match, and I am happy to answer any additional questions.
Thank you, Ms. Thunstrom. Representative Scraba, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question to any of you. The MnDOT Project 47, what costs is MnDOT passing on to you for water or wastewater infrastructure for their movement of the road, if there are any?
Ms. Thunstrom?
Madam Chair and Committee, so MnDOT, the project that we are doing with the highway doesn't include any of the actual infrastructure for the water and sewer. So that is 100% the city at this time, as they will work with stormwater and the pavement up. The city is responsible for our trunk lines.
Representative Scarborough.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess, is the road, is any of the infrastructure under the road, if the road being moved, do you have to work on your infrastructure under the road or move it or anything like that?
Ms. Thank Thunstrom. You,
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair and committee members, so part of the infrastructure does follow alongside the highway, but where we're running into our greatest cost is at the intersections, where we would need to dig up those intersections for the major connections to the trunk. So that's why it's imperative it is done either before or at the time of the highway project.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Madam
Chair.
Thank
you. Any other further member comments? All right. Thank you for presenting in front of the committee today. Representative Lawrence, did you have any final thoughts?
Madam Chair, thank you, committee members. I think it is one important thing to point out is that the project of the water infrastructure is an $8 million project, and City of St. Francis is coming along to ask for help with this project at a $3 million request.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, thank you, committee members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Lawrence. Final bill, I believe, up. We have Representative Hill. Representative Hill, I do not have a list of testifiers for you or any handouts, so you'll have to make sure we get that information.
Thank you, Chair Franson. With me is representing Scandia is Les Heen, who's going to share a little bit more about our Bliss Neighborhood Water Project. Bliss Neighborhood Water Project is something that we brought to the committee 2 years ago, and it was something that was approved and that we moved forward with. This is a project that is on the St. Croix watershed and that needs to get done. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Heen to share more.
All right, Mr. Heen, please state your name for the record and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franson. My name is Les Heen, and I'm representing the City of Scandia. And thanks to the committee members and Representative Hill for working on this with us today. Scandia is located in the northeast corner of Washington County, next to Chisago County and the St. Croix River, and it's a community of 4,000 residents. The city is asking for assistance in improving a wastewater treatment facility that is not designed to meet current MPCA regulations. The Bliss sewer system was built in the late 1980s, and it's an underground sewage treatment system that serves 79 homes on the west side of Big Marine Lake. And the system ensures proper wastewater treatment before water is released back into the environment. There are new MPCA regulations and that came out in 2021 and require the removal of nitrogen and phosphorus from the treated water. The system was not designed to remove these nutrients when it was installed over 30 years ago. So new treatment infrastructure is needed. I would add that the city, Representative Hill mentioned that we have been here before. From the time that we first started introducing legislation on this in 2022, the project cost has gone up. We talked with city consulting engineers last week after this bill was introduced, and they now estimate the cost would be $2 million. An important point of this, of why the city is asking for this, is that the Bliss neighborhood residents, as I mentioned, it serves 79 homes, and they are already paying $128 a month for sewer service. If they were to shoulder the entire responsibility for these changes, the Bliss residents would see their monthly sewer bills go from $142.33 to $564.72 per month, which is approximately a $400 increase in their monthly sewer bill. With that, I know that in the interest of time for the committee, I appreciate the time to be here today, and we appreciate the committee's consideration of the request from the City of Scandia for the Bliss project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heen. Representative Hill, members, do we have any questions for either Representative Hill or his testifier, Mr. Heen? Okay, seeing none, thank you for presenting in front. Oh, I should give you final comments, which is I've been forgetting to give members that.
No, thank you for the opportunity today.
All right, thank you, Mr. Representative Hill. Okay, I see that we have no other bills to hear. I want to thank members so very much for another exciting day in the Capital Investment Committee. Next meeting we have would be March 6th, where we have even more bills, 18 bills. So it's going to be another exciting, jam-packed day, which I know we will all roll up our sleeves and look forward to it. So members, unless there's any further business, I think we can adjourn the meeting. All right. Thank you. Thank you.